previously on The Rebound. Where did we leave off? Does anybody remember?
We were recapping the last episode of The Rebound.
Because seems like a lot of things happened.
Did they? I haven't been paying
attention. Last week, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's weird because now we record. This is a little peek behind the scenes for everybody. We record on Monday nights now, so everything that happens at the end of the week, we don't yeah, know anything right. about.
We're kind of screwed up because we don't know exactly. Like, our time reference is all messed up.
Right. I mean, instead of before, right, where, you know, we were totally on top of things all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry for any change in professionalism on the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry we got more professional. Apologies for that.
This is the tech adjacent. Did you guys watch the Natasha Lyonne series on Netflix, Russian Doll?
I have not.
Is that a euphemism for the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay, then no. Then no, I have not.
I have not watched it, no.
I recommend it to you and all our listeners.
It looked a little too grim for me.
Oh, it's meant to be a dark comedy, but it's not.
Yeah,
like
I got
black.
That. It was just one of those things where I watched the trailer and I was like, I'm not sure I am in a place to handle that.
I like time travel, and it was like the Groundhog's Day version of time travel, and so I was okay with that.
Oh, time travel. Yeah. I do like time travel.
They hate the comparisons to Groundhog Day, but they literally released it the Friday before Groundhog's Day, and it's got the same basic conceit in a different way. So, bite me.
Yeah, really. Suck it.
Well, you'll need some new time travel stuff to replace Travelers, because it got canceled.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't finished the season, but I didn't know that. We're taking
a Well, slowly. It ends in a pretty...
It's sort of as an ending.
Yeah, I would say if it had come back, it would have been a very different show.
All new cast.
I mean...
I would have watched the very different show.
Oh, I would have watched it, yeah. It might have been a very different cast. I don't know. I would love to see someday if they just were like, oh yeah, this is what we were thinking for Travelers for.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's super technology related.
I watch them on my technology.
So I made some notes because now on Monday nights, like, I can't remember, like, I'm going to forget if I don't write stuff down.
Just want to be clear. We used to do it Tuesday midday. The difference is like 12 hours.
I mean, but it's the midday. So I'm like more on top of things at like noon than I am at 10 o'clock at night when I feel.
I'm full of Japanese curry right now. So
could be worse. I was expecting when you started Japanese, I was like, sake?
Well, for me, it was always midday in the workday and like in the middle of a million meetings, like literally sandwiched between meetings. So for me, I'm much more clear headed. This is like the best me.
Oh my God. This is the best you.
Interesting. Interesting.
Okay. Wow. Highly employable. So Dan, what are your notes?
I have an announcement that may shock you.
Uh-oh. You're switching to a PC.
I bought an iPhone SE. Now, there's an asterisk next to that because I didn't buy it for me.
For whom did you buy it?
Who cares?
So they went on clearance again last week, and I had thought...
Yeah, like, it's like the third, but
yeah,
they've done it a few times now. It's like the third or fourth time.
And after the first time or so, I was like, oh, you know, so my mom has a 5S, and I'm like, oh, that thing's going to be getting long in the tooth. Like, it's already kind of pushing it. So I sort of called
her. I forgot the 5S had teeth.
Yeah, it was a feature. I called her up and was like, so there's a phone on sale that looks like your phone, basically, and it's just slightly better, and it's, you know, a few $100.
And it's middle of the line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she doesn't want a big phone. That's the thing. Like, she likes the 5S. She's very comfortable with the form factor. And I was like, well, this is probably going to be one of the last shots I have for getting her one that's the same form factor. And, you know, it'll buy her a couple extra years of time with that form factor, I think. Like, then again, there have been rumors that they'll drop the SE off the compatibility list on iOS 13. I'm not sure I buy that, but
I don't buy that.
I think it'll last longer than the 5S.
Particularly now that they're selling, they're returning to sell them.
Well, they're selling off their stock, right? It's all clearance.
I know. It doesn't have a real place in the lineup right now, but still, I think
it would be dickish to sell it now and then 6 months from now be like,
14, I can imagine, but not 13.
Yeah. So I'm hoping it gets another at least couple years of life.
It'll just be painfully slow on 13.
I was amazed that it incidentally, when I bought it, they're like, oh, it'll arrive, you know, next week on Monday. And then like 12 hours later, like, it'll arrive tomorrow. I was like, what? So yeah, I somehow it arrived like 24 hours after I bought it.
Wow.
So I haven't been over to set it up for her.
Oh,
yet,
I was going
to
ask. That was my next question, because I'm curious about the setup process. Will you restore from an iCloud backup or set up as new?
I'm either going to restore from an iCloud backup or make an encrypted backup on her iMac and restore from that. I'm not sure. Mm. I honestly don't know. Like, I've done my own. I always do an iCloud backup for myself, but I feel same. Like the pain of that is always just sitting around and then having to, like, I still re-enter have to passwords. And re-enter all my passwords. Yeah. So, right. And I supposedly the encrypted backup doesn't.
It's supposed to. Yeah.
And that, but I also feel like now with passwords and apps being able to access your browser passwords and things, like, it's a lot better than it used to be.
It's definitely better. The problem is she's not very good about saving that stuff, even though I keep telling her to, like, yes, use the keychain. Use
on
one
the flip
password.
Side, to her benefit, all of her passwords are "I love Dan." So
she doesn't use the Lex school of making passwords.
The ones that all say "I love Lex."
No, they say "I love Dan." It's weird. I don't really get it, but
oh, I love this guy.
Aw. Anyway, so yeah, I'm keeping the SE afloat there. You're welcome,
John.
Thanks. There are dozens of us.
John, I actually had a question for you too.
Oh, bring it on.
So in a relevant story, there was a relevant story that didn't directly mention you, but I believe is adjacent to you, which is on the talk show that I believe you were the guest on.
Breaking news.
Gruber mentioned that the Apple TV and the HomePod are sold at a loss, according to his sources, which was then later contradicted by Mark Gurman, who says he believes they are both sold for a profit.
Yeah, but those guys seem to love going at each other.
Yeah,
so true.
Should we put them in a cage and just?
I mean, yeah. He said that.
I mean,
I think he said one of them he thought was sold like at flat, like at a, you know, not at a loss, not at a profit, for like as much it was as it is to make, which I think is the Apple TV, and then the HomePod is sold at a loss.
I'm frankly shocked because that would be so against Apple, methodology.
And particularly in the numbers that the HomePod sells, I don't understand why they would do that.
There's nothing to gain there unless you really are just like, we're going to get so many Apple Music subscriptions, but like,
I don't, yeah, I mean,
those
obviously,
people must already have subscriptions if you're buying a HomePod, right? Like, not everyone's stupid me who buys two and doesn't have an Apple Music subscription.
Yeah. I mean, they could just have, I mean, putting their foot in the door for the future. I mean, it could have been just like, okay, this is our first effort. We're going to put this thing out there. We're going to sell it. It's not going to be, you know, we're in an un-Apple move, like selling sort of a prototype as opposed to selling something that they feel is completely finished. But
yeah, that's plausible.
I agree. I mean, I was sitting here right where I'm sitting now, very surprised to hear that. I remember where I was, Dan. I remember where I was when I first heard that the HomePod was sold at a loss. It was right here.
This very table.
It's actually, you know, it's a board. It's a board propped up on a shelf and a piece of wood that I hammered into the wall.
Wow. You're very handy.
Yeah, that's how I live.
The Apple TV one is the one that gets me, because I think, to his point, he may have said this, that like, if the issue is not then that device is too expensive, it's that device is too good, right? Like, that device is way more than anybody needs for the price and like what it does.
Well, yeah, and it seems like they're kind of backtracking from what it is. I mean, they're gonna have to. Right. In order to, if they're going to sell a music streaming service, they're going to need to push more numbers, and they can't do it with a, what is it? $160 starting price. And, and then idiots like me who spent like $200 because God knows I needed that extra storage space.
You get the extra good version of all the content. That's the thing.
Yeah. They're probably going to sell one for considerably less that doesn't do apps, which is perfectly fine for basically everybody, because nobody cares about the apps because they're not very good.
Well, and that's where I've heard like now people speculating that essentially what there will be is like the TV app, which will have like different third-party channels and Apple original content within it. And I laughed when I heard somebody speculate, that might have been Jason Snell on this week's upgrade, because my first thought was, so it's literally almost going back to what the second generation Apple TV was, when all those channels were just like not really apps, but things that Apple just implemented. I was like, oh, right. So we've just wrapped all the way around on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to what we were doing initially. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where people are, you know, it's pay to play, basically.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Honestly, I don't understand why Apple is in the Apple TV business. I don't get it.
I think they wanted a place in the living room, but I think it just never has quite panned out for them the way that they wanted. They
do
it,
right. I don't think, yes, I understand why they were. I don't understand why they seemingly, like, they're in between giving up and not giving up. And it feels like where they're moving, based on all the rumor mills, is to being a service that's ubiquitous in the living room by compatibility with everything. And like, I'm assuming if they're going to work with all the TVs, they're going to work with Roku, and they're going to work with a Fire Stick, despite the Amazon, Apple kerfuffles.
Oh, Amazon's on the Apple TV, exactly. So yeah. I think, you know what it is? I think it's that product is kind of stuck. You're totally right. It's stuck in between the old Apple and the new Apple, where the old Apple was like, let's have content to drive device sales. And the new Apple is, let's drive services sales. And it's kind of a holdover from that of like, oh, well, our services drive our device sales, as opposed to now the device sales driving the service sales. So yeah, I think that's what happened is like, it's way too much horsepower for the services end, but they're making a nice, they have to be making a nice margin on it. They have to be. Why else would you do that? I'm totally with you, Lex. Like, if they're not making money per unit, that is a dumb product. I mean, it's already honestly, a dumb product.
If they're going to be making they are making their content available on other devices, then
right? Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
No, I agree. I mean, at that point, something like a dongle looks more possible, but at the same time, it's a low margin device that's not going to probably make that much money. So, really, the big advantage would be, make it cheap to let people get the service if they don't have another means of doing so. And like, there's probably a diminishing return on the number of people who won't be able to access it through some other means. But at least then you have a solution for those people, right? Like, oh, spend $50 or $70 and get our dongle that does our stuff and a bunch of other services. But yeah, I do think it's like caught in the middle of like those two strategies.
Do you think that at some point they thought that the Apple TV was going to be some sort of home hub? I mean, because there was a lot of talk about that a number of years ago. The home automation stuff would have taken off a lot more, and that would have been the focus.
I mean, it seems weird to me that they stopped making airport base stations around the time that the mesh networks became so ubiquitous, because I feel like all the Moltzels of the world, which I say with love, would buy an Apple mesh networking system.
I probably would have. That would have been, I mean, much more so than the HomePod.
But I'm a happy Eero customer. I love it. And my guess is now if Apple came out, they're like, well, it's more expensive and it doesn't have much perks, but I bet Apple could make it have some perks, right? Like, it could be, at least they would tell you, and I think they would mean it, that it was optimized for streaming their shit and doing their things and all that stuff. But I would assume that if you had to put them around the house to spread your connection, that they could, if they wanted to, make them smart, or at least make them listening or something, so that you could do HomePod style thing. I don't know, but like, it feels like they had it all there. They're like, yeah, we're going to skip on that one.
Well, I assume they just eventually decided that was a business that was probably wasn't making them a lot of money.
Right. I think a lot of the home automation stuff is just simply fizzled. It's not, it hasn't gained traction, and which would have been like, I think, the instance where in the past Apple would have stepped in and taken the leadership and then actually driven that. And that's not necessarily where they're at now.
Well, yes and no. I mean, HomeKit has been, I think, progressively growing for them in terms of adoption of third-party devices. Like, the stuff I saw at CES this year was like, there was much more, because once they relaxed the restrictions on requiring like hardware, now they have software authentication in addition to hardware authentication, really opened up a lot of third-party devices. And HomeKit is pretty common. Now, that's within the home automation market. Maybe you could argue the home automation market as a whole is not where they hoped it would be.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But it is still fairly, I mean, certainly a lot more, like, I see a lot more smart lights, smart locks, smart, you know, speakers, even in the mainstream market than there used to be.
Yeah. I'm not doubting that it's grown. but I just don't think it's taken off and become something, you know, in the way that like the iPhone took off or the iPod took off and has been something where everybody needs one.
Nothing will ever. I mean, I agree with Jason Snell on this assessment. Nothing, I think, in our lifetimes will probably take off the way the iPhone takes off.
Well, certainly not mine. I mean, what time is it?
The I mean, I was noticing around my house that so many things are automated. Like, it feels very close to the future sometimes when, like, my doorbell connects to my phone and to people who make Molten nervous watching all the people come to my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the lights, some of the lights are connected, and like now with the home entertainment center, I can get to via the Echo, and like you can do a lot of stuff. And there's a camera in the family room, or in the kitchen rather, so I can check on the kids if I'm not quite home. And we're pretty close to the future.
I mean, it will be the future soon.
Right now.
Well, speaking of the future, we have two supporters today, and they're both repeat advertisers, which I love, because that means that you guys are buying this stuff, and you should, because it's fan-freaking-tastic. Support for today's show comes from Legacy Box, the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Dan and I both did this. They send you a big old box. You fill it with all the videotapes and pictures and whatever other analog artifacts you have, and they will convert it. I did a bunch of old movies I used to make at summer camp, including multiple seasons of an X-Files parody I made with campers, where one session of the summer, no girls signed up, and we needed a Scully. And so I portrayed Scully via sock puppet. And getting to relive that has been a hit. And watching this little kid who I had have an intense making out scene with Scully, as played by the sock puppet. Memories. So save your family films and photos from degrading or being lost forever. Listen, that kid was degraded either way. All you have to do is send in your legacy box filled with old home movies and pictures. Then they'll professionally digitize your moments onto a thumb drive, digital download, or DVD, and send all your original recorded moments back along with the perfectly preserved digital copies. It'll give you peace of mind and a great sense of accomplishment. Better yet, it will ensure your family history or camp history is preserved forever. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started, but don't just go there. For a limited time, they're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/rebound to get 40% off your first order. That's LegacyBox.com/rebound and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past, or you may not have a future.
Speaking of the future.
Yes.
In futuristic devices, I also saw today that there was a story about the Apple's head of AR/VR, it's unclear, leaving the company. This was reported, I think, at first in Bloomberg, and then the guy whose name is Avi Barziv took to Twitter to confirm that he left his full-time position at Apple. He was also, I guess, one of the HoloLens creators at Microsoft, and worked on the team there too. But all of this, you know, sort of serves to like tacit confirmation that Apple is working on some sort of AR display product. But
unless he left because they decided not to, Dan,
which is, I guess, possible, but probably not. Yeah, I don't know. So this is a thing. The German report even had a code name for the project. It was something pretty innocuous, like T228 or something, but. I guess it's a thing.
Isn't that the name of one of the Terminators?
Yes. John Terminator, a.k.a.
the Scuzzy Terminator.
28.
I would just like to say that I like my Avi's Tavanian.
Wow. That's a deep cut. Yeah.
Well, that ground us to a halt.
That's what I do.
I was debating whether to make an Avi Maria joke, and I went with no.
Nobody's interested in AR displays but me.
It feels to me like a Skunkworks project that's never going to get released. I think there's no way to do it and make it be cool.
Tim Cook loves AR, is all I'm saying. The man is just, he's ready to augment his reality.
I don't see, yeah, I mean, I still have the same, I mean, you know, sometimes it's this lack of my foresight as opposed to anything else, but anything that where I have to like put something on my face,
anything, not even moisturizer,
anything really, like, you know, I mean, like they talk about their glasses you're gonna wear. People hate wearing glasses. People, yes, go to great lengths to not wear glasses.
I've gotten surgery and contacts to avoid wearing glasses.
And like people were like lasering their eyes for a long time. I
mean, literally, Lex.
Some people at home.
What? I didn't do it at home. I
just by themselves, you know.
What, just pointing laser pointers at their eyes? That's a terrible
laser
idea.
Pointers right in their own eyes. That doesn't work, people. Don't do that.
What kids are doing to get better eyesight? You'll be amazed. Film at 11.
Are your kids lasering their eyes right now? Yeah.
What if instead of making smart glasses ARVR things, Arver style, Arver University, what if Apple made a home laser kit to repair your vision? That I would buy.
Arver Tavanian.
It's part of the AR glasses, Lex.
No, but I wanted to permanently correct my vision.
Do you guys ever worry? This is kind of tangential, but do you ever worry that, you know, and John.
Always.
Yeah, I was thinking about this as you were talking about this, John. Do you ever worry that you'll just get to the point where you're too old for technology?
Oh yes, for
and
sure.
You'll just be like, I don't get anything.
Yes, I worry about that frequently. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're in a weird place. Like, there's very little that I'm excited about in technology. I mean, like,
or just period.
Like things that coming down the pipe. I mean, someday I would like, sure, I would think that it would be great if I could get in a car and a car would take me someplace all by itself. You know, I mean, I think that would be awesome. I don't see that happening in the near future, and I'm starting to wonder if it's ever going to happen during my lifetime.
But, it's definitely going to happen in your lifetime, and I think in the near future. That's what
I think you're over optimistic.
I am very. We've had this debate before. I'm still very opposed to Lex's.
My car is very close to already doing it.
Yeah,
when you let go of the handle and you just let it go straight, that's not the same thing.
No, it doesn't just go straight. It follows the road. It stops for red lights. It stops for the cars. It tells me, push this button and I'll pass other cars. And then it turns on the turn signal.
You falling asleep at the wheel? That's not okay.
No, but it's there's a nice sense of terrifyingness, especially for first-time passengers. But then it just does its thing. I don't know. I forgot we did have this debate.
All right, long time driver, first time passenger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I kind of sympathize with where you're coming from, John, in the like, there is stuff that I'm intrigued about, but there's not stuff that I feel like is as world changing as maybe I thought 10 years ago. But I feel like I'm willing to be wrong about that. Like, I'm willing to have, like, check out this stuff and see if it makes a huge difference. But, you know, at the same time, there are I don't know. I mean, I feel like so much of it is done in software now is like the stuff where things are rapidly moving, and that I feel like outpaces my comfort zone much faster than hardware, you know, your Snapchats and the like, right? Like there's stuff where like the use of technology amongst people evolves much faster than the technology they are using.
That's the thing that I think the thing that's dragging back my enthusiasm a lot is seeing how a lot of it, Facebook has been used to the detriment of society as opposed to the betterment of society.
Is it also possible that just like once we all hit like, you know, over 40, that we'll all just be like, we're crotchety, technology's stupid.
Get out of here with this stuff.
I can't imagine Molt's over 40.
I don't know. I think I would just be more interested in, new hips, new hip technology.
Oh, they're working on that. Well, stick around. If this show sticks around for another 18 months, we can answer the question about what happens when we're all over 40.
Oh, right. Oh, wow. Geez. Just 18 months, huh?
Just okay. 18 months left. That's it.
I think we could do that. Yeah.
Unless John gets into some self-driving car accident before then.
That's probably, unless it's with Lex's self-driving car,
you can trust it.
Tragically, all three hosts of the Rebound were lost in Lex's self-driving car. it's like the day the podcast died.
We're doing the Mario Kart race off, and then Lex's self-driving car drives into my living room.
I play Mario Kart in the car because my car's driving itself.
Yeah, right.
Oh no.
Why wouldn't you?
That is definitely the worst way to go.
Why wouldn't you play Mario Kart in the car?
Well, speaking of occasions you need a good suit for, like Multi's funeral, every man looks better and feels more confident when he puts on a suit, especially if it's Indochino. Indochino is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. With suits and shirts that fit your exact measurements for unparalleled comfort, I'm going to be hanging out with my dear friend Oprah tomorrow, and I'll be wearing one of my two Indochino suits. Visit a stylist at Indochino's showroom to have your measurements taken, or measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. I've done this. I've measured myself at home, and I did it right. You get to choose your fabric, colors, any design customizations like the lapel, lining, pockets, buttons, and monogram, and then the suit comes to your house. I've done it, as I've mentioned on the show many times. I've done it once, and I like the suit so much, I bought another one. And they're fantastic. They really, really work. If you're going to be getting married, if you're going to be attending a wedding, and you need a suit, Indochino is a fantastic way to get this done. This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359 at Indochino.com. That's when you enter the code Rebound at checkout. That is 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. And shipping isn't $10. It isn't $100. It isn't $4,822. Shipping is free. So you go to Indochino.com, enter the promo code Rebound. You will get any premium suit for just $359 and free shipping. You will look very handsome. This is an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go back. Indochino.com, promo code Rebound.
All right, I got two things left on this list right now.
Okay. We didn't talk about Apple's numbers last week.
That's true. We did not. We neglected to do our usual prediction.
To do our usual, a few hours earlier prediction.
Yeah. Several
Which
people commented on that online.
Yes, I know.
I'm sorry that we disappointed you. That truth was that we all forgot that the Apple earnings for the next day. There were, a couple tidbits in there that were kind of interesting. He talked a little bit around video streaming services at one point.
I thought it was interesting when he said we are all in on Apple TV and we're betting the future of the company on it.
Not a thing he said, but go ahead.
Right.
The talk of lowering iPhone prices overseas to sort of combat the foreign exchange problems they've been dealing with. Right. But steadfastly sticking to the prices of iPhones in the U.S., which is, there's nothing surprising about the latter part. It's more shocking that they would.
They seem like they
anywhere.
Didn't sell that badly in the United States.
Yeah, I think the U.S. was
like the U.S. did
well.
Okay. It was. I mean, China did terribly apparently. But
yeah, the U.S. did okay. And I think the U.S. had a good quarter overall in terms of revenue, just across all the product lines. But yeah, it was. It was an interesting, the iPhone thing is an interesting question, because there is some question of like, well, all right, is there a combination of factors between China and the fact that the 10S in particular was kind of a, I think the argument's made there's a lot of pent up demand when the iPhone 10 came out, because it was such a radically different phone that all these people who'd held off on upgrading were like, oh, I'm going to get this new awesome phone. And then when the 10S rolled around, less exciting, because lots of people had gone about the 10 in the same way that lots of people went and bought the iPhone 6 after being waiting for a big screen iPhone to show up. And so Cook did say that the 10s Max was the 10R was the best selling.
10R is the best seller. The 10s Max was the second best. Yeah,
and he didn't go into it after that, so you could actually interpret that a couple different ways, because you don't know if the iPhone 10 sold better than say the 8, which might be selling well.
Number three, coming in at number three, the iPhone SE.
That was the worst game.
The no longer for sale iPhone SE.
Worst game of Family Feud ever.
Somehow, third best selling iPhone.
So I don't know. What do you guys think Apple's doomed? Is that what you're saying?
Doomed, for sure. Doomed.
Yeah. They said they had 1.4 billion. iOS devices as an install base, and 900 million of those were iPhones.
Yeah, which means, as I think somebody else, I think Jason again said this week on Upgrade, like, it probably means at some point within the next year or two, we'll get an announcement that we've hit a billion iPhones in our active installed base.
Right.
Granted, what that means is extremely open to interpretation.
It'll be before this episode ships.
Somebody sold 100 million iPhones. Wow, China really perked up there.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it will be more interesting to see how this pans out over the next several quarters and see how they do relative to last year. Because, obviously the holiday quarter is always a little bit of... It's the biggest quarter. And if all the revenue's down commensurately over the next three quarters, then that's... it's not great, but it shows some sort of like longer term issue that they're going to have to make adjustments based on. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is related, but only tangentially, but I did have a friend asking me about what iPad do I get? And I was looking at those iPad Pros and the Pencil and the thing, and like, you, we've talked about this, but you equip those things and that's a very expensive setup. I think people assume, oh, iPad, that's the more affordable thing, that's not super expensive, but no, it's super expensive. It's like, it's, well, a computer.
The Pros are expensive,
the Pro,
but
yes,
yeah, but the other ones are really very reasonable.
But the Pros are the ones that are shiny, John.
Yes, I realize, I understand that as a as a Pro owner. However, I was, you know, I recently got back my iPad Air 1, and it's a extremely serviceable device.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, it's slightly slow, but it's still does like basically everything.
Pretty
and
sure
runs the latest,
that the
latest operating
that's
system.
What the commercial said. Extremely serviceable.
Well, no, but this is like, what, I mean, how old is the iPad Air 1? It's pretty old.
It's pretty,
like,
old.
At least
yeah,
5 years, right?
My cat's been using my old iPad Air 2, and I find that fairly sluggish at some things.
Yeah.
Compared
they
to, and I'm using
the tagline.
I'm using a Pro. Yeah. I'm using the 10.5 inch Pro, so like not the most recent generation, which I think right. is still, that seems basically on par. I'm sure the new ones are faster, but that one's, I have no problems, no complaints with. But we'll see when they revamp the whole thing. There are some rumors. I don't think we talked about this last week, but there was a report that iOS 13 or the new, there are new iPads coming, probably like the new like low end iPad / iPad mini.
No. New iPads?
But there was the why do you even do this show? I don't even know.
Flex.
Continue.
Yeah, I mean, you can make your own fucking list. How about that?
No, I'm saying we have all mocked in the past when the rumor was like Apple's going to release a new iPhone. Yes, good job, rumor mill. But continue.
I was more specifically saying is that there were, I guess it was in the report from Mark Gurman last week that Apple was adding new cameras in the next iPhone, but it also had some tidbits about the new version of iOS, suggesting it will include a dark mode. And that there will also be an iPad-specific upgrades, like a new home screen and improvements to file management, which is broad. but
I think that would be file management.
It seems like, I mean, that had been the rumor sort of after the iOS 12 kind of was pretty sparse on iPad features, was that iOS 13 would actually, you know, be like, oh, yeah, the iPad, that's the thing we make.
Right.
And make some adjustments on that, which I think will be interesting to see if that's actually pans out. But that is, I mean, the iPad hardware is extremely capable. I think at this point, the software is mainly what lets it down.
Yeah.
Right.
I would agree with all of that.
As long as we're on the topic of money, I want to talk about money that is close, near and dear to Lex's heart. Spotify.
My money?
Spotify looking to buy Gimlet, the podcast company, for 200 odd million.
I'm just glad that it's being reported now because I've been sitting on it for a while. yeah, I don't really think I can contribute to this conversation, but I'll gladly listen.
I was wondering if that was going to be an issue.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I have all kinds of,
well, that was interesting.
What are your opinions?
I mean, I think we learned something there. We just don't know what.
I mean, I guess it suggests there's a lot of money in podcasting, but you know, then again, today I read a story in the New Yorker about this crazy pathological liar author who had managed to parlay himself into like a New York Times bestseller, even though he basically seemed like he was a sociopath. So, you know, there's a lot of wiggle room in these industries.
That is basically the Gimlet story too. But, I mean, the reality is there is. I mean, now I'm just soapboxing a little bit, but there's a lot of money in podcasting and a lot of interest from big companies in podcasting because they really work. It's a medium that people really like, and I know that, ironically, in our circles, a lot of podcasters don't listen to a ton of podcasts because a lot of podcasters in our world don't have commutes, and I think commute listening is very, very popular for podcasting.
Right.
There are plenty of exceptions to these rules, but like there's a lot of folks who record shows but don't necessarily listen as much for that reason. That said, all the people who do listen are super captive and they pay attention. They like the hosts and the host read ad stuff works and all the stuff works. And like, I don't know about you, but like when I have pitched advertising in the past, it's like my TiVo has one button I can press to skip the entire commercial break. I run banner blocking software on my computer, and if there are banner ads, I could not tell you what they were. If an ad comes on the radio and I have to listen to the radio, I tune to the next station. When people listen to podcasts, they're listening to the podcast. It's not like when you dip in and out of a radio show, you listen to the whole show. The average listener gets all the way through the whole thing. And so it does not surprise me that the ads work because people are listening to the whole show, especially when the ads are in the host's voice. You guys have listened on this show to how great that is, right, Indochino?
And that's the thing. You might skip the ads, but you can't really get away from them completely, Legacy Box, because we're all just wearing Indochino suits.
That's exactly right.
I am not. But commensurately, I mean, like, it is still a smaller industry, you know, than most of the competing media industry. And I mean, the upside to that is that there's room for growth, right? Which is what often excites these, especially the financial people, right? Like, it's small, but it seems to be on an upward trajectory. And that, you know, that's why, you know, Spotify is willing to throw 200 odd million at this, is because they think they can make a lot more than 200 million, which maybe, I don't know. 200 million seems like a lot. But if they got the money to throw around, then I suppose they can do that.
The fun game to play is, what's the multiple they're using?
That's why I didn't. I had to memorize my times tables.
You got up to the billions?
I got to. Two other things I saw. One, this is kind of just came up today, although it's been a thing that's been floating around there. So I guess the new beta of iOS 12.2 officially uses AT&T's 5GE nomenclature. Which is to say, congratulations, you're now all on 5G networks and you didn't really have to do anything.
I did enjoy T-Mobile throwing shade at AT&T over this.
That was pretty funny. I think it was a video of them putting a post-it note on it that said 9G, I think. I mean, to me, it's always this is the technology equivalent of, fuck it, we're going to 5 blades.
Yeah, well, except you're not actually necessarily going to 5 blades.
Right, that's right.
That's right. Like, if you go to 5 blades, you actually have the 5 blades.
I mean, the 5 blades are a bad idea, let's be clear.
This is basically painting a 5th blade on and be like, it's 5 blades.
right.
Well, I mean, nobody should be surprised. They did this with 4G, right? Like, this has already been their MO. So, yeah. I don't know. I saw something today about, like, The Verge had a headline, like, Apple is complicit in doing this. And I was like, I don't know if that's true. I think it's probably just some weird term of their licensing deal with the carriers that, like, they aren't responsible.
They get to pick what they call it.
Whatever, yeah. You know, it's marketing, right. Guys.
Whatever stupid thing they want to call it.
It is entirely stupid, I agree, but it's marketing, and get over it. I guess this is my, there's my hot take.
You have a Kickstarter to promote?
Yes.
And nobody is selling a book.
Follow my SoundCloud.
Just like and subscribe, people.
Yeah. It's just dumb, right? It's just dumb. I agree with you that people don't have to worry about it, but it's also dumb. It's confusing.
I mean, because...
But I don't think Apple's complicit. That's stupid.
No, I think... I mean, yeah. 5G, as it is, has meaning, but... Nobody knows. Like, it's not going to make a difference to anybody for the next year at the earliest. So, I feel like people getting bent out of shape is dumb.
Cellular companies and their... services. You know, T-Mobile has long offered unlimited tethering. That's long been a perk of at least some T-Mobile packages. And for a while, on and off, when I would be on the bus, especially on my morning commute when nobody's awake yet, I would watch a Netflix show or an Amazon Prime show. And I would, like, you know, I have a giant iPad. I'm going to watch it on my iPad and use the tethering connection from my cell phone with its unlimited tethering. And the video would hiccup and be crappy. And if I watched it just on the phone, it was fine. And then I remembered that T-Mobile also limits the speeds to 3G speeds when you tether, but it works totally normal speed on your actual device. And then T-Mobile further does that thing where they have deals with some of the streaming services to cap it at like 720 versus 1080 so they can transfer less data and it doesn't count against your data. And I have unlimited data, so I don't actually care. But it means I like having a bigger phone because I tend to watch a lot of TV shows on Netflix and Amazon from my phone on the bus because it works at a faster connection. So that is my story.
That's what Tim Cook thinks too.
It's a good story, bro. No, I that's the one reason I haven't switched off the AT&T plan I have right now is that the tethering stuff is more tightly controlled on the newer plans. So, like, there are unlimited data plans that are, you know, attractive in what they do, but they also I feel like some of them even do like 480p limitations on streaming, and I'm like, nah, that's bullshit. Sorry,
not enough P, man. I need more P.
I need more lines. That's going to be a pretty good out of context Lex clip that I will be playing for a long time.
Also, possibly the title of this episode. I'm voting for number 9.
That's a very inside joke.
Yes, for three people. Just the two. Yeah. Yeah,
right. I know my audience.
Do you want to explain the concept
it's
of an ordered
my
list
audience.
To our audience?
My audience is you guys.
No.
Some people who edit podcasts just come up with the title themselves and slap it up there and don't worry about it. Dan sends out a list of possible title names to us, numbers them after our request, actually.
Yeah, there was some complaining when I didn't
number them. Because he used to just send out like random title names, and then we'd have to type them back into our phones and say which ones we like the best. Now yeah, he sends
my,
out
my,
a
my
numbered
job is
list.
To spoon feed you guys as much as possible.
Well, we prefer it if you just pick the goddamn title.
I'm already doing the whole edit. You guys can at least chime in on the title.
How long does that take?
I think
that's like de minimis compared to is that like coming up with a headline?
Well, I gotta listen to the whole
or
stupid,
a lead.
I gotta listen to the whole stupid show.
Yeah. True.
Anyway.
I think the title of this episode is the one where we all broke up.
We're a friends episode?
No, we got 18 months before we can do that.
Yeah, we got to make it to at least.
Right.
I did see this one other thing, which makes me, so I'm going to be the crotchety old guy now and say the story about Apple designing a glass keyboard for laptops.
Oh, God.
I saw you throwing some shade on that on the old internet.
I thought it was, I still think it's stupid. I understand that it's not, so what this appears to be is not quite just like, let's make it a touchscreen. Like it would have some sort of raised key sections, but
yeah,
I think this is
take that, Marco Arment.
I think it's I think that's garbage.
I think we should definitely call it the Marco when it comes out.
I withhold judgment until I see it or use it.
First of all, I don't know. I still
yeah. I think there's a very good chance that things like this are just you know getting into the crotchety thing are designed not for me, because having seen. People younger than me type on iPads. I am constantly amazed at their ability to type quickly on a virtual keyboard.
I inevitably delete the wrong part of the word or like I hit the wrong key.
I can't do it, but you know others can.
I'm still, by the way, a big fan of the Gboard keyboard, so I'm just putting that out there.
But I'm on my laptop. I want my keys with physical fucking keys. Like,
no, I agree. Yeah. I want my keys to be physical keys. I don't know what the glass keyboard entirely means, but what I'm actually worried about is I've dropped things on my keyboard before, and if it's just a keyboard, it doesn't break.
Yeah.
If it's a glass keyboard, it will.
On the upshot, I guess if you spill water on it, it doesn't matter.
I would like if they could make my iPhone out of keyboard material, like current keyboard material, because those don't break when you drop them, and iPhones do.
I ordered a new keyboard.
Yeah.
Yet another new keyboard. So this is the Keychron.
Keychron.
It's a low travel clicky keyboard.
A Keychron, a low travel clicky keyboard. I'm not a clicky
keyboard
guy.
It'll be in the show notes. Yeah. And it was supposed to arrive today, but we've had snow today, so no clicky keyboard for me today. I already have a clicky keyboard, but this is the one thing I don't like about my current clicky keyboard is that it is it is not a Mac layout, so I use Carabiner, which is good, but every once in a while after a software update, Carabiner will freak out and not understand what's going on anymore or not be in effect, and then you have to reboot yet again in order for Carabiner to take control once again.
I do want to say, if you want to save a syllable, you might consider going with Click Keyboard. That might save you one syllable.
I'm not going to do
this.
That.
Keyboard has some trippy lights on it, Moltz.
Doesn't it though? Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. I will be able to report back next week.
My
thoughts about
yeah. I'm curious to know because the thing that keeps me off clicky keyboard is just they're too damn loud. Like
I it's just me, man.
Well, it's not. See, that's the thing. It's not the other people in my house I'm worried about. It's that when I'm on a podcast and I want to surreptitiously look something up, you don't hear click.
No, my current kicky keyboard kicky.
Keyboard. Ah, there's a title. That's number 11 there.
Still going with number 9, but it's like, you know, it's several floors above me because I'm in the basement and it's in the attic.
Well, is a very useless keyboard to you right now.
No, I mean, I just use that's what you know, I have this lousy MacBook Pro keyboard which prevents me from typing things while I'm on podcasts.
I appreciate that because then
it's less, much better.
Less shit that I have to edit out.
All right, right. And
my move is I just don't podcast. That's the solution.
Yeah, we know. That's why we moved the recording time.
Woohoo! Save it for next week, Dan. Save it for next week.
Save it for the show.
Start the next list.
Save it for the show.
Man, when I replace you guys with James and Guy, it's really going to be a much better show.